Okay, so let's come around the word this morning. So, when you come up with a title for a word, you're never quite sure. Sometimes you go, well, is that the right title? Is that the wrong title? Does that title sound better than the actual sermon? I'm not quite sure. But I put seed times faith equals deeds of eternal significance. That's a bit of a title, isn't it? Seed times faith equals deeds of eternal significance. I'm going to come from if you would you turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. We're not starting there, but that's where we'll be spending the majority of our time this morning. We're going to look at good old Gideon. So it says, we'll start this morning in Hebrews. It says in Hebrews 11, just verse 1. 1, 2, and 3. 1 to 3. It says, Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question now, and it will all to write down the first things that pop into your head. So you can't overthink it. Just want you to write down the first maybe three things that pop into your head. What do you hope for? What do you hope for? What do you hope for? Give you a second to think about it. Or maybe just... You see, we all got something down, or thought of something, okay? Don't want you to overthink it, because when we overthink of it, we always start to get dead spiritual when we overthink it. It's when you react immediately to something, the first thing that comes to your mind, that is what your first instinct... That's generally where your priorities lie. That's the first thing that comes into your mind. Because what you hope for, those are the things that you generally will put your energy. Those are the things that will generally take your focus. Those are the things that are currently what is in your heart. Would that be fair? So I'm not going to ask you to answer. I'm not going to go around and start saying, let's have a sharing session. This isn't. If it was the youth, probably would. But as there's a lot of you, a bit more than the youth, we'll leave it for this morning. But what do most of them concern? Do they concern you? Do they concern your family? Do they concern your finances? Do they concern your health? Do they concern your faith? Do they concern the church? Do they concern his kingdom? Only you can answer that. But I'm going to leave that with you. You can go and have a think about that. Because when we ask those kinds of questions, faith is confidence in what we hope for. What we hope for needs faith. And with faith, we hope for certain things. And so, what comes to your mind is generally where you'll put that faith. It's where you'll put that effort. And I want us to just hold that, and we'll kind of carry on. So, one of the things that God told us to do, one of the things that Pastor Tony mentioned at the very beginning of after we came back after lockdown, was he said there was three things that God had spoken to him, but one of them was regather your strength. Redirect your resources to be mindful of where we put our time, our energy, and our effort. Amen? And because there is a season of God that we are entering, we've entered into and continuing to enter into, that will require our energy. And that's why it's important to know what do you hope for. Because it might be that what you hope for and is what you hope for aligned with that which is what is required for us in the season that God has placed us in as a house. But that which God is telling us right now is currently found in the unseen realm. It said here that God, that by, we understand the universe was formed at God's command. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So what we see around us is visible, but it came from the invisible. Amen? And that's why we require faith. If God was sat on the at the top of Hartshead Pike over there with his throne, and we could bob up and have a chat with him anytime we wanted, face to face, you wouldn't need faith to see. If God had a nice big, you know, little video, YouTube video, showing us exactly how he made faith, how he made gravity and how he put the earth together, we wouldn't need faith, would we? Because the seen has become, because everything is seen. But out of what was unseen, the visible is now here, which is why we need faith. And what God is telling us to do is coming from the realm of the unseen. Everything that God is speaking to us and that we are looking towards is currently in the unseen.
Yes.
But our job is to bring it into the visible.
Yes.
So the invisible becomes visible. But it requires faith and action for that to take place. So now would you come to Judges chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 11. Now I know this is a really well-known scripture, or it was a well-known story, but so hopefully it'll be easy for you to follow. And it says in Judges 6, verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, I think that's how you say it, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Now, just to give you context about that, a few verses before, it talked about how the Midianites, what they used to do in their oppression of Israel was they would let the Israelites spend all year growing and getting all their seed and putting it in the ground. And when it came to harvest time, they came and they stole it all. So they literally, imagine Farmer Bob down the road. He spent all year growing his taters and growing his cabbages and his lettuce and his all the rest of it. And then just at the point of harvest where he's there going to reap reward from his labor, we all go in and just ransack the place. And he's left with nothing. So the Israelites, we go, why is he threshing wheat in a wine press? It should be on the threshing floor. Because Gideon was doing it to keep it from the Midianites. Because Gideon was so afraid that what he had was going to be stolen. And when we're talking about seed, the seed, we have been given an incorruptible seed, amen? We have been given, and there is seed that is, we've heard that is coming from heaven. Is that I love the fact that Phil mentioned about seed, because this is one of the things, what Pastor Tony also spoke about seed last week, if you remember. That are in the presence. So clearly, there is seed that is coming from heaven, but we all know that there is a seed already in us. When we try to keep our seed in places like that it's not meant for, we hinder the seed that we have. Because he's trying to put a what should be in a threshing floor is in a wine press. I don't know if you know, but a wine press is meant for trampling and stomping and getting juice, not separating wheat and grain. But when you are fearful, when we try to keep the seed of Christ in us within the church, when we try to keep the seed of Christ hidden, and I especially want to highlight it within the church, we not only stifle its true power, but we also lose our confidence and our assurance as what it can do through and in our lives. Gideon was hiding his seed. He wasn't trying to use it. He was trying to keep hold of it. I'm so scared of someone stealing it, I'm just going to hide it. And what God said to me is what we have been doing as Christians, or what the church has been doing, is we have kept our seed inside the four walls of the church. And I know so many Christians, and you see so many Christians that they have only Christian friends, and they spend, apart from what they go to work, they don't associate with non-Christians. We keep ourselves in our Christian bubble. And that's great on one level. But the seed of Christ was not. Phil made a comment last week, and it's a comment that stuck, that God is doing more outside the walls of the church than he is doing inside the walls of the church. And it's because the seed of Christ is meant to be outside the walls of the church, not remaining inside the walls of the church. But we are in a season now where God is calling us out. The seed of Christ is being misused and stifled by the people of God, because we're making it and keeping it for the people of God. But when you try to take your seed and try to use it for a purpose it was never intended, you will never see it in its full potential. But what also happens is we forget what it can actually do. And what's happened in the church and what we have seen is so many Christians are afraid of using that which they have been given in Christ outside the four walls of the church. How many of you have wanted to pray for someone in the street but didn't? How many of you have dreamed about prophesying over someone but didn't? How many of you have dreamed about being able to walk over to someone and lay hands on them and see the sick healed, but you haven't? How many of us have had those thoughts? Because in our head and in the church, it's great to talk about it. But the moment we go beyond that, all of a sudden, that which we hope for is not so sure. That which we say we have faith in is not so strong. And it's because we are trying to hide and put our seed in a place it was never intended for. Our seed is not intended to stay within the four walls. That's only part of it. Amen? And I want us to look here with Gideon. There's a process through some scriptures, and I hope to God that it's one of those things that when I was going down a very different track until Saturday, and then God said, go this way. Oh, okay. So I'm just going with it. But there's a transition that Gideon had to make in a very short space of time. And I want to look at the encounters, especially at the beginning here. So if we look at Judges 6, 12 to 13. It says here, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." When our confidence and assurance of the seed within us is knocked, we receive the word of the Lord with the eyes of what is visible and not what is invisible. We see it as we see it through the lens of what we see and not what is unseen. This is a man that he's there burying away his seed because he's afraid of that which he has. Rather than it growing, he's afraid to bring it into the light. He's afraid to have it seen by anyone in case someone steals it. How many of you know, no one can steal your seed but you? You can give it away, you can neglect it, you can leave it open, you can let the enemy steal it, but the enemy has no power over you in Christ. Do you believe that? Amen. Not so sure. Yeah. Me and John are sure. The thing that we see, there is a lack of confidence in the church. There's a lack of confidence. And so we see, receive these words, and we can say amen. We can say amen all day long in the house of God. But so often we say amen, but all we see is what is in front of us. And because we see what is in front of us, that is why our confidence never goes beyond whatever we can see and whatever our circumstances are. When our confidence and assurance of the seed with us is knocked, we're more likely to go, "The Lord has abandoned us. Look at the storm." We've spent the last 3 years, I would say, Phil, would you say, when we're talking about going beyond the walls, Alan, would you say, including COVID, about 3 years? For 3 years, the message has been being spoken that God has taken us beyond, that God has taken us, there is something being required. But yet, here we are. What percentage of the community would we say know the Dream Centre? How many of them know who we are, what we're about? What would they say is the demonstration of who we are? We're saying it because this, but this is something that you could say that about 100 churches in this area. Most of you don't even know the churches exist, and neither does anyone else, apart from those who attend. This is the issue I feel the Lord is trying to bring, and this is why we saw Gideon. The seed within you is not defined by your present circumstances. That which is in you is not defined by your present circumstances, but it exists to take us beyond every present circumstance. We've been speaking for the last few months about the storm and how to cross and the boats and all of these different things. It all flows from that which has been put within us. It is that which is within us that gives us the power, the light, the ability to go beyond that which we presently see, to sustain that which we see, but to see beyond what we see. But when all we do is when we are hiding and we are foraging and trying to keep hold of what we have, we are full of fear. And so this, because the seed within us is always looking for what it needs to grow. The seed of Christ in you is single-minded. It has a purpose. And that is the only purpose it has. You can't reprogram the seed. You can't reprogram that which God has put in you because, as Phil said last week, God speaks from the eternal. So that which has been set aside for your life is part of God's eternal purpose. That which the assignment on this house was set in eternity. Amen? Are we seeing this? It doesn't change based on whether you see it or you don't see it. So the problem is we then begin to fight the seed. We fight the way it wants to express itself. We fight the way it comes to us. Gideon didn't even acknowledge him when he said the Lord spoke to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." He called him a warrior. He didn't even acknowledge it. He immediately went, "Well, God's abandoned me. Don't talk to me about warrior or that God's with me, because he's abandoned me. He's abandoned my people, he's abandoned the city, he's abandoned the nation." And I tell you what, if I spend all day listening to the BBC News, then I think the same. Because that's all you see. But that's the mindset that God is. But the seed is not defined by what we see. We allow ourselves to be defined by what we see. But God calls us to spend our days in the unseen. To have faith in the unseen. And it's only when the seed is able to be nurtured and begin to come in and out and alive that the unseen becomes seen to us. We have the power to starve our seed. Just because you're in church doesn't mean your seed will grow. You might, knowledge might grow. Your church life might grow. But that which Christ has put in you, the purposes of God in you, the gifts and graces in you, can be stunted for the rest of your days. And this is Gideon. He was a young man that was, I would say, quite angry. A young man that was quite disillusioned. A young man that was okay in his little private place, but he wasn't happy with what he saw around him. And then it says in Judges 6:14, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength.'" And I love this. Despite what he said, despite what Gideon said, so Gideon didn't respond going, "Hello, nice to see you. It's good to know the Lord is with me. And I feel like a warrior." He didn't, did he? He moaned. He saw what he couldn't see. He said what he saw, and he complained. But God did not acknowledge that. He immediately just responded, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand.'" God is not going to change his tune based on our complaints or based on our fears. God is like, that which I have given you has a purpose, and that is the only purpose. It says that's the way we're going. It's a one-way street. It's not a two-way street, it's a one-way street. So in the last 3 years, we've been saying that change is coming, change is coming, change is coming, change is here. But there is a transition that has to take place. And this is something that Pastor Tony mentioned to me yesterday. He said, change is external. Transition is internal. You see, when change comes, and I look at the fact that I can say I've got a two-year-old baby, okay? Now, it's my second child, but trust me, it feels like my first. I have a boy who is 2.5 years old, who now has more energy than all of the Duracell batteries in the UK. Does not sleep, does not stop, does not... He just keeps on going. And when... Now, Dave and Lisa only mentioned it. They said to us the other week, before we had Joshua, you know, this is the time when we're supposed to now start going back, going on holidays and having our couples' weekends away, because now you've got a teenager who can stay at home or stay with someone else, and now you've gone and had a baby all over again. So all those plans are out the window, because now I'm back to, will he sleep all night? No, he doesn't. Can I leave him on his own for 2 minutes? Nope, not unless I want him to climb on something or break something. So my life has completely changed. Now, the good thing is, even though I had 10 years of wanting a child, there's a transition in my heart that had to take place to go, I'm now a 30-odd-year-old father. I'm not a 20-odd-year-old father. There was a whole host of physical changes that took place, and I have to deal with those changes. And those changes aren't asking my permission. They're there. They're coming, whether I like it or not. But there's a transition in my spirit that has to take place in my heart where I move towards the changes, because the changes are coming anyway. When God was speaking to Gideon, he wasn't giving him, oh, it's all right. Okay. I see where you are. I tell you what, I'll come back in 6 months and maybe don't go then. Maybe don't go. I still love you, but maybe don't go. Maybe you're not a warrior. Maybe you're just, you know... a shepherd. I don't know. Let's change it to suit what you feel like right now. God is not changing his mind. God is not changing. And the changes are coming, church. And the changes are here, are manifesting themselves. And even since we've been back, they are beginning to manifest themselves. But there is a transition that, just like Gideon has had to go through, we are having to go through. Now, we have been given 3 years of the leadership speaking like this. And here I am again. I almost feel like a parrot. I'm like, Lord, is this, are we going to talk about this again? Yes, we are going to talk about this again. But the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? We are each given a measure of strength. How we steward that strength is vitally important, which is why what we hope for matters. Because what we hope for sets where and how we steward our strength. We are not being asked to go, and you are not being asked to go, in someone else's strength. Because ultimately, it isn't our strength that our assignment will be completed anyway. It's his strength. But we must start where we are, with what we have. When I look around, I'm not using the scripture, so it doesn't matter. We all know that Gideon didn't. Does any of you remember how many troops Gideon was given? But how many did he start with? 32,000. It's a lot, isn't it? And then not a lot. As a house, we are smaller in number than we were 3 years ago. Now, here's the thing. I was only thinking this, and I thought, how do I say this delicately? So I'll try, but maybe I won't. When I hear a lot of pastors preach about when their churches are getting smaller, they always talk about, oh, God's just pruning us. God's pruning us. It's never about them. It's just always God's pruning. But the difference is, when you find out whether that is true or not, is this. Has the church, when those people leave, is the church stronger or weaker? Because God doesn't leave his church weaker. Because the assignment needs, God will always give us what we need for the assignment ahead. We are less in number than what we were before, but we have not lost strength. Now, that is not a personal indictment on anyone who has left this house. So if this is anyone's listening to this, don't try and shoot me. This is not about any individual who is or isn't here. This is about the fact that this assignment requires certain things. And God gives us, and some people, they can't transition into it, or this isn't the place for them to transition into it. But when we look and when we go, we are going as a house. I look around now and I see a house that is strong. I see a house that is agile. I see a house that is nimble. I see a house that, as Pastor Tony talked about before, the fat lady has been stripped down. But that's so she can fly. But just because that has taken place doesn't mean that if you're here, number one, you're a bit crazy. But two, it doesn't mean that just because you're here, that means I'm part of the best. I'm the best. It's not about that. We have to understand that this challenge is still here. That what we do with our seed will depend on how much we are part of how we will deal with the changes that are upon us. Because the changes, church, are here. Am I not sending you, says the Lord? Phil explained so well last week how our deeds, and it's something that I've really been thinking about all week, how our deeds are what we will be judged on. I've never been so convicted about my deeds as I was before, because it was always about living a good life, being a good man, just doing all those righteous things. That's great, but that is not exactly what God spoke about. He said, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do in my house? Where did you go? What did you do? What are the deeds? Deeds require action. Without action, there are no deeds. You see, Phil talked about dead works, right? There are anything that does not have its origin in God is a dead work. But if there is no work, then it's not even dead, because it never came to life. If we do not have deeds, we do not have action, there is nothing that we are physically doing or going, then there is nothing to even judge, except the fact we're judging you that you didn't do anything. And the other thing that Phil mentioned last week was in 1 Corinthians, where it spoke about the man who basically escapes the fire with his life, but with nothing left. Everything else was burnt, because he escaped as one escaping the flames. We have an eternal reward, but when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, if there are no deeds, then what is there to reward? Other than, well done, you got in. I don't want that to be on my... I don't want that to be on my eternal permanent record. I don't know about you, but I feel convicted in my spirit that we cannot become a people who keep talking but don't do. And this is the next scripture, Judges 6:17-19. Gideon replied, If I have now found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Gideon went inside. He prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The time has come where we have to stop asking the question, is God with us? Is God with us? We sang it this morning. God is with us. God is for us. Nothing can separate us. But then why is it that we ask, well, before we go, we all know the story of Gideon. Gideon was great at saying, before I go, could you get the fleece? Could you do it this way? Oh, can you do it the other way? And can I just, before I go? And so when the seed of Christ has not been, we're not starting to use and utilize that which has been given to us, we question in order to procrastinate. Sometimes there are times when we genuinely are saying, God, is this you? Do I need to go? But such has been the inaction of the church. How many more times does God need to tell us he's with us before we believe it and start to go with the faith and confidence that he is with us?
Yeah.
We have got, if we are a people who truly believe that God is sending us out to do the things that he has predestined us to do, then why do we need to keep asking questions? Why are we procrastinating? We're procrastinating because we don't have confidence in here that which he says is with us is actually with us. That the power that we actually say that we have been given, that we actually have. And it's a journey that only you, I can preach all day long, Phil can preach all day long, but nobody can convince that. That has to be something that you see, and you see in yourself. That is why the well has to be open. That is why the seed has to be received in a certain way. Because seed on its own will not grow without us doing something to let it grow. So the time has come to stop questioning whether God is with us. Give me a sign. Because that exposes our heart position. So many of us are still saying, I don't know. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God wants me to do. But sat in your chair asking, I don't know what God wants me to do. You'll be saying that for a long, long time. Because it's not, because God's word is speaking, and God's word is speaking clearly. We have to attach our spirit to what he is saying, not wait for it to come and say, here's, like when you go to an aeroplane, they always say, and there's the lights down the runway, you can see it, you can see the little lights either side down the plane, so if the lights go off, you'll know where you're going. You know, it's not like God is going to come to us and just say, you sit there, I'll make it, I'll bring the runway to you. We have to make a journey towards him. And that's why Gideon began preparing an offering. Gideon began to prepare an offering, not with words, but with a physical demonstration of his honor for the one stood before him. I believe right now, church, that God is no longer looking for our words. We have been in church for so many years, and we have said so many words about how we want to see God change our nation, how we want to see God do this, how we believe in God for that. But it's now God is saying, as a people, church, your words are great, but they're not what I'm looking for anymore. What I'm looking for is an altar built. I'm looking for an act of worship, which we'll talk about in a minute. It says he's looking for Romans 12:1. What is Romans 12:1? Let's quickly go to it, very quickly. We should all know it off by heart. I should really know it off by heart, to be honest with you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Worship is not just singing on a Sunday. It is when you get out there and you do that which God is asking you to do. That is our act of worship. God is saying, in the strength that you have, go and bring me an offering. Go and bring us an offering. We know the mission. Is to go and save, Gideon was there, go and save the Israel. Go and save us from the Midianites. Go and save you from the Midianites. I have made you a warrior in Christ. But I know you can't see that right now because that's a journey towards that. I know that you haven't got all the strength to go and just take an entire nation on yourself. But go in the strength you have. And as a sign that you're serious, give me an offering. God is looking, church, for an offering from us. That we go out and we are now taking action in that which God is asking us to do.
Yeah.
He doesn't just want our words anymore. Because words, after a while, just become words. Amen? Yeah. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Okay. It's very quiet in the room. I feel like I'm telling you all off. And then it said this. In verses 20 to 22, the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. The angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And I'm going to answer, God will direct us in how we bring our offerings. And I want to, if you now turn with me to Ephesians 5. I'm going to answer that scripture by another scripture. Ephesians two very simple scriptures. So Gideon is now brought, he went out, he prepared his goat, he made his offering, he physically went and got it, and he brought it back and he placed it before the Lord, and then the Lord told him what to do with it. And then he realized who it was. And it simply says in Ephesians 5:10, and find out what pleases the Lord. Our actions, God is not, when God sends us out in his strength, and then we go and bring him what we've done. So we now start to move to a place of action. And however little that action is, God will then direct you in the way that pleases him. So that which you bring, that little bit of action, it might be a simple thing that we do. But when we begin in the steps where we are right now, when you've been a Christian who hasn't done, who have been sat in that chair, in that righteous chair, in that holy seat that we all have for as many years, God is not suddenly saying, right now, go take on a nation. He says, go and give me what you've got, the strength you've got, and I will tell you what to do with what you've given me, in order so what you've given me pleases me. And then it said this in Ephesians 5:13-14. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. When we do this, then the invisible becomes visible in your spirit, because of the light of the Lord. The fire, when the angel touched the offering, fire came. And all of a sudden, Gideon's eyes were opened to an encounter with God. And his eyes became, and something significantly shifted in the heart and the mindset of Gideon, which we'll see in a minute. After the encounter, there's two things that happened in the scripture just after. And it says this, it says, Our sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face, but the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die. When we begin to, when we suddenly start to move in the strength that we have, and we do something to show God we are serious, and then we allow God to direct us to do that in the way that it pleases him, there's two things happen. The light of why we're doing it becomes alive. But then two things happen. A fresh fear of the Lord comes upon us, and a fresh peace of the Lord comes upon us. Yeah. At the same time, a reverent fear. What did Phil say about the church only 2 weeks ago? He said, we have become a church that has lost the fear of the Lord. Because it's all about grace. When we begin to go out and do that which God is saying, a fresh, reverent fear of God will take place, because God will do something powerful with that which we give him.
Yeah, that's right.
But in that place, there is also a reverent fear, but alongside that fear comes a peace.
Yeah.
Fear me, but do not be afraid. But I fear this is where we are. We're at the point where we're afraid to take a step out. So we're happy talking about it. We're happy preparing for it, as long as we're still in the preparing stage. But guys, the physical changes are now upon us. And God is saying, is your heart in a position where you have now transitioned into a place where you're now ready for what's about to take place?
Yeah.
Is your heart ready? Is your heart ready? Because if it isn't, there's time. But the time has now come. Change is upon us. And I know some of you know there are already conversations going on. The things we are changing, this whole house is changing because God is building his house. Gideon is going through this transition now. So all of a sudden now he's gone from a man who was hiding that which was given to him. He was fighting the expression of the seed. He was a warrior. God had an assignment on his life, but he didn't see it or want it. Because that's why he said, who am I? I am the worst of my family, and I am the least clan in my whole tribe. Every excuse, I can't go, that's not me. You're talking about someone else. But the seed of Christ is single-minded. So when God speaks to you in that way, that's because that's what he's put inside you. God's not speaking to the you that you see right now. God is speaking to the unseen, fully formed you that he created in his presence. Amen? And that is who God is speaking, which is why there is only one way it's going. Because when he's seen the completed you, he doesn't listen to the you that's only half done. He's talking to the completed spirit you. Our job is to come into alignment with that which God already sees. When we begin to start to move, church, as we begin to start to take hold of that which the seed is propelling us to do, then the light of God comes. And that's when it says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And when we see the light of God, a fear and a reverence will come every time we are in his presence. But a peace will come that we can take that fear, we can take that presence, we can take the power of that, and we can take it beyond the walls. And then it said here, in verse 25 and 26, that the same night, so Gideon had a busy day. The same night the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, and offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had told him, but he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, so he did it at night rather than in the daytime. But he still did it. We must continue to build a proper kind of altar in spirit and in truth. We must be a people who understand what a proper altar looks like. That means what we have called worship has to change. What spirit and in truth is not I built you this one altar, that one time. Remember that time when I had a really good time on Sunday morning? Yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it? It's not like you've built an altar and that's it. We must continually build altars that God determines as proper. There is a spirit and a truth. Pastor Tony only spoke about it, didn't he, a few weeks ago? Spirit and truth. We worship in spirit and truth. Worship 101. Gideon was then told to go and build an altar. But this time it wasn't just an altar in worship. The altars God wants to see are built with the destruction of the work of the enemy. The altar that God wants to see, that we replace the work of the enemy with an altar that glorifies his name. We are not going outside the walls to be nice to people. We are going to destroy the work of the enemy in our community. We are going to destroy wherever the enemy thinks he has a hold and does have a hold. We are there to break that stronghold. And in its place, where there was destruction, there is now an altar that glorifies him. Gideon was afraid. Was he not afraid? Yes, he was afraid. He did it at night, but he still did it. He went and tore down the ash. He took those with him. There was only 10 of them, but he took 10 of them with him. And he says, we're gonna knock it down, despite the fact that my dad built it. Despite the fact that the townspeople want it there. Because, you know, there are some things that the enemy has in people's lives that they don't want to get rid of. It's a destruction that is there. You know, it's almost like me trying to take social media off my son. It's destructive in the wrong way, but he wants it. So there is a fight on our hands to be able to do certain things. But God says we are a people that are to build altars that glorify God in the place that there where the enemy had a stronghold. Fear is a natural part of the process, as it requires being willing to confront those who would oppose us or those who would scheme and try to attack us. I work in a bank. You might go, well, you work for a bank, you work with money. Yeah, I work with money, but I also work in sales. Because I'm not quite sure how you think a bank makes money. But essentially, a bank is a shop and it sells financial goods. So People think, well, that branch is really busy, so why are they closing it down? If it's busy with you just putting your £100 in, or you taking your pension out, or you putting a cheque in, or you asking a question to cancel direct debit, that doesn't keep a bank. That doesn't make a bank money. That actually loses the bank money. Every time you walk into my branch, you actually cost the bank money because they have to pay me to do it. The only way a bank makes money is by you buying the things that we sell. Now, whenever you buy something, whenever you're supposed to buy something, we always say this. I will never sell you anything you don't need, but I will always try to sell you everything you do need. Now, when we go out there, we are not trying to sell something that people don't need. We are giving Christ away, something that every person needs, because we know what the judgment seat looks like. Amen. So you're not going to bring someone something that they might need. No, we are going to bring salvation, something every human being needs. Otherwise, we know what the consequence is, and Phil laid it out quite clearly. So if that doesn't strike you, then I would go back and re-listen to Phil's word, because it struck me that when I stand here doing nothing, all I'm doing is allowing people to face that fate. But what stops me, I don't like people saying no. I don't like saying no. How many times have you been stopped by those charity people and you've signed up? You know they try and get you. You either lie or you sign up for something because you didn't want to say no. Because we're afraid of confrontation. So what of us do in the church is we just avoid confrontation altogether. We cannot be a people who avoid confrontation. Confrontation is coming. Because it's a war, it's a spiritual war that we are facing, and one that Gideon had to begin to transition into. The first step was start, okay, you did it at night, you did it when no one was really looking, but you went and did it. Now the morning after, there was a hoo-ha, when they realised, why is there an altar to God and not an altar to Baal? But that's when the protection of God comes in. That's when God moves, and this is where now it begins to get real. But then the very next, when Gideon did that, when Gideon was willing to be confrontational, when Gideon was willing to tear down something which he knew was going to cause a stir, when you become willing to now take that which is inside of you and take it into places that might not want it, and it will cause a stir. And then very next scripture, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. When we show God with our action that we are willing to be confrontational to bring about his purpose and his assignment, the Spirit of the Lord comes on us in a fresh way. And he blew a trumpet. So now he wasn't in the darkness. He's gone from hiding in the dark to now blowing a trumpet. And summoning the Abizrites to follow him. He sent messengers through to Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali. So they too went up to him. All of a sudden, there's a different man on the earth. There's a different Gideon than what we saw the day before. Because something of his spirit has now transitioned into that which God has been calling him into. And there's now a boldness, not only to go and carry on doing it himself, but to go and now begin to influence and call upon those and blow a trumpet so that others may come and join in the battle. When we cultivate... No, that's the wrong bit. The word of the Lord requires collaboration. It is not a solo project. The Spirit of the Lord will embolden you to join and make alliances with those you may not have natural connections with, but have a shared stirring with. God wants to stir and is stirring so many things in each of us. But it requires one of us. There are two. There are called pioneers and there are enablers. Right now, God is looking for pioneers and enablers. Who are the pioneers? The pioneers are those people who can no longer sit still. Because the stirring in the Lord has prompted them into action. That's why it's so wonderful when we hear about Mary and the guys who are going into the community and doing something. So let's give an example. Mary is a pioneer because she took it upon herself to take hold of that which God was putting in her spirit and find an expression for it. And then those who are now doing it with her are the enablers, because they see what God is doing and say, I will now attach myself to that which God is doing. I didn't have the inspiration to go and do it. But now that I see that God is doing something, I will attach myself to it. Some of us in this place right now have stirrings, and God is calling you to be a pioneer, to start something new, to start a new work, to do something, to go somewhere and say, I don't care whether I have to go on my own, I will go on my own, but God, give me those who will come with me. Gideon started with 10 servants, but some of you in this place, the others, if you're not a pioneer, you should be an enabler. An enabler is someone who says, you know, that might not be my natural thing, but I get where they're going. I see that God's in it, so I'm going to support it. This is what, where we are now, church. This is where, this is exactly right now where we are. It's the start of something new. But who, will you be a pioneer? Will you be an enabler? And then lastly, when the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused men throughout the camp to turn on each other. This was Judges 7, 22-24. They started turning on each other. This is after he'd obviously gone down to 300 now that they were doing everything. The army fled to Bethshitta towards Zerah as far as the border of Abel, Meholah and Tabath. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim saying, come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them as far as the Beth Baran. So all the men of Ephraim were called out and they seized the waters. When we cultivate the seed of Christ within us, when we begin to be a pioneer, when we give the right altar and begin to go in the strength that we have, and then we allow God to shape it and move it, all of a sudden we give opportunity for others to join. Because others see the momentum that we have built, and now all of a sudden, there is a confidence and there is assuredness that people didn't have before. I believe this house can become a conduit for other houses to start to do something. Yeah. I believe that we're not just that. As a pioneer of a new work in a new generation. By the way, when we say generation, generation is an age. Generation is a heart posture. You can be 85 and be part of a new generation. Yeah. It's about, is your spirit willing to transition into that which God is bringing right now? Is this making sense, church? Amen. I have no idea how I was going to say this, but this is how it's come out. But the work of a pioneer, the work before us is a pioneering work. It has not been done before in this house. So we are at the precipice of a pioneering work. And therefore, God is saying, I need my people in their hearts to transition with the seed of Christ that is now wanting to express itself outside those doors. Yeah. Because change is here. Yeah. And what I want to leave you is this, is that if you fight it, you can fight it all you want. We can fight it all you want, but this house will just become more and more uncomfortable. Because the seed of Christ in you is not going to change. Because the expression that God has given you is the expression God has given you. That which God has put in you has already been put in you. And it isn't changing. It's just, so don't fight it. God is saying you can fight it all you want. But it's going to, all you'll do is it'll stay undeveloped. But it's only going to develop in the way I lead it to. But it's now time for us to build an altar of action. It's time for us to build an altar of action. And very lastly, no, I won't say that. I haven't got time now. It's 20 past 12. And what more? It says in Hebrews 11, 32 to 34. Yeah. And what more shall I say in verse 32 to 34 of Hebrews 11? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. You see, Abraham, it talks in the first part of that about chapter 11, I'd encourage you all to go and read Hebrews 11 again, when it talks about faith and those who did it, Noah, Abraham, all these people. And so many of the people of God did not see the promise. But it says here, when you talk about Gideon and those, and they did see the promise fulfilled. Now we may or we may not see the fullness of the promise fulfilled, but that is not the point. Our point is to go and to dismantle the works of the enemy. everywhere we see them. To go in the strength that we have been given, to do that we have been called to do. So that if we don't see the fulfillment of everything that we want to see, we have laid a foundation and a legacy for the next generation to take it on. You know, there are people, Pastor Colin did not see what Pastor Tony and Phil have seen because their generation took on from Pastor Colin. Pastor Colin stepped into something that his predecessor didn't see. And whoever leads this house beyond the current leadership will step into something because it's an ongoing assignment. It doesn't stop with us and finish and start and stop with us. It carries on. But this last thing in 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18, this is what I'm going to leave you with. It says this, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What do you hope for? Are we hoping? My heart is that what we hope for is what is found in the unseen. And we therefore do everything in our power to make it visible. But that only happens if we are willing to now move as God is instructing us to move. Let's just stand to our feet. I believe, church, that the reason as much as that might have sounded heavy, I'm really excited about where we are right now.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I know things that some of you don't know that's going on right now. And I know I've had conversations with some of you that you know you've had a conversation with me. And I know we've had a conversation, but not everyone else knows about the conversation. Things are happening amongst the people of God in this house. Stirrings are taking place. But right now, God is saying now is now. The stirrings are great. All the stirrings are fabulous. It's a fantastic, but God is saying now, will we take it to the next stage? Will we now, with the strength that we have, look around you, with the strength that we have, because in this house there is great strength.
Yeah.
Not just because of the physical things that we see, but because of the seed that heaven has been deposited in our hearts. Not just since we came to Christ, but what we've heard over the last 2 weeks, there are deposits being put in our hearts now for the season ahead.
Yes.
And I'm excited to see what they are, but we must now take responsibility for that seed. For if we add faith to the seed that we have been given, we will do deeds that will have an internal and eternal significance.
Yes.
For you, for me, because when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, they will be recorded. But let us not take heart from Gideon. Gideon started as a miserable son of a man, wallowing in what he saw around him. But within a short period, he became a warrior in charge of 32,000 soldiers and completely destroyed an army. And gave rise to others to step into their position. Because those he said afterwards, after they started fleeing, then the momentum was created and then others then are able to step in. I believe we can be the pioneers and the enablers that will see a mighty move of God in this entire region. I don't just believe that this is for our house and for the houses around this place. I believe that what God has in the unseen realm is the ability for us to become a governmental house that changes an entire region.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it all comes, it doesn't. We don't do every bit of it, but we are part of that makes it happen. So come on, just raise your hands right now. Father, we thank you for the seed of Christ that is in us. We thank you for that which has been deposited into our hearts, into our lives. And Father, we now say, Lord, let that which we hope for be found in Christ Jesus. Let that which we hope for not be in what is seen, but is what is unseen. Father, let us not be people that look around and do what we do based on what we see, but let us become spiritual sons and daughters that in spirit and truth lay altars that glorify your name and destroy the works of the enemy in every place that we put our foot. Father, let our hope be found in the eternal. Let our hope be found in the great reward that we will see at the end of days. Father, let us not be people that stay sat down, that stay procrastinating, that stay wondering, are you with us, are you not with us? But my God, let us be people who are bold and courageous like Joshua. Let us be people like Gideon who go from being in a place of darkness into the place of light. The place where they have the least to the place of the greatest in the kingdom of God. Father, we pray right now. Let that which takes place from this house be spoke about in the annals and the books of the future. As Gideon was spoke about in Hebrews, hundreds and thousands of years after what he did. Let that which is spoke about in this house be recorded in heaven. And let people in the generations beyond us say, because of what that house did in 2021 and on, Father, we give thanks for what they did. Let others give thanks for that which we did, not so that we become glorified, but so that you are glorified, Father. I pray right now. So right now, church, just say, Lord, open my eyes to the unseen. Open my eyes to the unseen. Father, do not give me eyes that see just what I see around me in my own life, that is within me, but Lord, show me what is inside. And Father, and I am willing to build you an altar. Father, let this be a house full of altars, of praise, of worship, that glorify your name and that please your heart. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, guys, thank you.